You might like to turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy, if you would, chapter 3. And if you were Daniel or Jeremiah, you would not have no idea what we're sitting here for. They would have no idea at all what you're doing, because it's foreign to them. It's a mystery. We are in it. We are the mystery. We are that which was never heard of. We are that which was completely unheard of. Now, and we've been looking at that, mysteries. And in the light of 1 Timothy and chapter 3, we're looking at Timothy. Timothy is in Ephesus, Paul's writing. And here's the local assembly in Ephesus. And the church is there. The church, what is the church? The church is the word church. Is the word assembly. That's what we're doing. Assembly. Assembly. What is the church? It's the assembled body of believers that gather together because of a common life, a common Lord, a common love, to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. The assembly. The church in Ephesus is a body of believers representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus we read, and I'm not going to get to do it because it takes too long to review it. Verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church, the assembly of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It represents the truth. How can it represent the truth? It represents the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It represents the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of God, the God of truth. Verse 16, and without controversy, without even any question, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God, Christ, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God in Christ to go to the cross. And thus the evidence that God was in Christ. Manifest, justified in the Spirit, seen of his angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. There's no question he publicly and personally made it very clear that who he was who he was. And therefore, there's no question about who we're talking about. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was crucified, and they rejected him. And that was unheard of, that Jews, would kill him. That was unheard of. Yeah. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, we then looked at, so here's Christ and the mystery, Christ is a mystery. God, the gospel is a mystery. We shared all these things. So now, here's the Lord Jesus Christ being rejected. But instead of the grace of God, the wrath of God, God is going to show his grace. Now, in the process of doing that, and we looked at the godliness. So God, how are you going to show your wonderful grace, your wonderful person? Remember, he's crucified, resurrected body, seated at the right hand of God. Why is it seated at the right hand of God? Because God is going to go now and make possible, by being saved, seated, God is able now to go and take whosoever's, and God in his wonderful grace in Christ, as Christ, can go and save us whosoever's in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that, how to save them, not like Moses and not like David. No, they're all saved. Saved wonderfully different. In what sense God would take, he's going to show his wonderful life on planet Earth for a little while. Little while to show, because he's going to go, the only sign is the sign of his resurrected life. Before we do that, look on again. Here's godliness. Godliness has to do with what? God in us humans, representing Christ. Christ, there's no question about who he is. He justified, etc. But for Christ now to be in a human, that's different. What do we call it? It's a mystery, yes. A mystery of what? Godliness. Godliness has to do with the word well and the word worship. Well worship, reverence, piety, the kind of wholeheartedness, looking to God, a wholehearted loyalty, devotion to God, the heart, having God's home, a place for God to show his wonderful grace. What are the believers doing? They're showing the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. They aren't showing branch, just a piece of wood. The branch shows the life of the tree, the leaves, the apples, etc. We're little vessels of dust to show his wonderful deity, and thus godliness, God in whosoever's, who are able to represent him in a unique way. Thus, 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, if you would. No, 2 Peter, time's sake. 2 Peter. If I can. And in 2 Peter. Going if I can. What we're doing is looking at the word godliness. That's how you're going to want to see it. So it's over and over and over again. So there's going to be no question. What is the mystery of godliness? It's God in whosoever's in a unique, wonderful way. Now, so therefore, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, and there's your little word, you're going to keep seeing it, life and godliness. Godliness, a wholehearted devotion towards God. Godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and to virtue. Sliding down if I can. I'll read it. Verse 4 is so awesome. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. God, to have a relationship to God that shows you and God have a unique oneness. God's nature, essence, being. God brings you. How can that be? Christ in you. God. And God places us in Christ. So when God looks, he sees himself in his Son, in Christ, in you. He sees you, sees me. Where? In his Son. Godliness. You share in a unique way the nature, the person of God. Now, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The end of verse 4. Verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Godliness. Verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, etc., charity. Over to chapter 2. And verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godliness in the same category. Thou knowest how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner, what kind of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation, manner of living, and godliness, all the way down the line. So now, and one other place to review where you were, just to see it. Over to Timothy, 2 Timothy, and you catch it. We did it, but just see it again. And 2 Timothy, picking if I can. 2 Timothy chapter 3. No, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live, what, dear friends? Godly. Those that are going to live, what? The life that I live in the flesh, I live no more. I walk, Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith, my faith. Christ liveth in me, the life that I now live. I have a unique relationship to God that I now have, that I never had. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, a life of godliness, knowing, chapter 3, verse 5, the world around us is going to have a form of godliness, outward. You're going to talk about, be religious, God, in all kinds of ways. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power, the life, the dynamic thereof. From such turn away. Verse 13, because, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They are going to deceive, and they are deceived themselves in what they do and how they do it. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, here we are looking, godliness, that's us, believers, that have a life, God, the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith, looking to God to outwork his wonderful life in our life, Christ who is our life. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, exercise, see that a little better if I can. Now, having said that, keeping that before you, if I can, in the mystery of godliness. Now, over if I can, now, to do it. You don't have to turn this for time's sake. If you did Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38 to 40, the Lord Jesus said, the only sign I am going to give to the unbelieving Jews that are looking for a sign, the only sign I'm going to give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and then he's up, just out he is. And the only sign I'm going to give him is an empty tomb and an empty cross and an empty tomb. That's the only sign I'm going to give him. The sign of what? My resurrection. You didn't understand. You crucified me, but I took your life and took your sin and my own body on the tree to give you life. You rejected it. I'm going to show my grace. You want a sign. I'm going to honor your request. Signs don't do anything. but I'm going to show you one. Now, so therefore, the only sign he's going to do is a sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, over to Acts chapter 17. And in Acts chapter 17, and go with me, if you could, to verse, you'll see it picking up verse 30, Acts 17, 30. And the times of this ignorance, and in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because, verse 31, he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Which man? The man you crucified. The man you were told to believe, you crucified him. I'll keep reading verse 17. By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. How does he tell you? He's the one you better believe on. In that he hath raised him from the dead. There is no other man. There is no other person anywhere in forever that can answer that. Only the one who's risen again, Allah, Muhammad, whatever, Joseph Smith, whatever you want. No one can do it. There is no one. What qualifies the Bible? Because God tells you he's the one, and he can put his stamp on it by being crucified and rising again. That's what he did, his resurrection. And what are we doing? We represent his resurrection. Now follow that so you can't miss it. Over, if you can, to Romans. And in Romans and chapter 1. And just do it, you'll see it. Romans in chapter 1. May I go to verse 4. And declared, I'll read you, verse 3, concerning his son, Romans 1, 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, God in the flesh, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, by the resurrection from the dead. The only sign I'm going to give him is a sign of Prophet Jonah, an empty tomb. And I'm going to show the empty tomb in whosoever's godliness. I'm going to show the empty tomb by walking up and down the earth, going to the grocery store, going to school. I'm going to show that I have risen. That's the only sign I'm going to show. What? I'm going to take, in my flesh you crucified me. I'm going to take flesh and blood, that's us guys, and I'm going to show myself in the same flesh and blood that you have. That's the only sign I'm going to show you. That's all I'm going to do. Now, hang on. Now, having said that, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 4. We're looking at the resurrection, the only sign. Chapter 4. And may I go, to verse 25. Verse 24 and 25. Romans 4, 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, that we just read, verse 1, chapter 6. Know you not that so many of, chapter 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, placed into, immersed into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, to walk in newness of life. But why? He crucified and took us to the cross and buried and then gave us, when we receive him, he gave us his own life, his resurrected life. Why did he give us his life? To show. How can I show the life of God without God's life, without having it? I have to have God's life. That's called eternal life. That's why you're saved. You have eternal life. You have a unique relationship to God. That's what you're doing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, having said that, then you slide down to verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Chapter 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, let me go to the end of chapter 7, verse 25. Verse 24, I should say. O wretched man, chapter 7, Romans, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, my old sin nature, the law of sin. Chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. How did I get it? The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord, and he did a wonderful thing in mine. He saved me. How? His life, his resurrected life. Over to chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the Spirit is going to go and give us the wonderful life of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So God, it's the resurrected life. Over to Romans chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, what is one part of it that you're communicating? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You don't believe in a dead Christ. You can't receive a dead Christ. You have to receive a living Christ. That's how you get saved. You've got to receive him. He isn't crucified somewhere else up there. No, you just received a living God in a living way. So therefore, we preach, we believe in the resurrection. We are going to represent, we walk in newness of life. Verse 10, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God's wonderful, 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 wonderful working. Now, have you got that part? So we represent him, godliness, the mystery of godliness. You can't miss it if you want to know it. I just want to understand, I think you do too. Why am I sitting here on earth? What does it mean of all the people, there's all the 8 million plus people? what up on earth. But what are we doing? We're supposed to be representing our Creator and Savior, the God, the only God there is, and the only Savior. And we know Him and recognize He died for us, and we become saved in a wonderful way. And therefore, thank God, thank you, God, for giving us your saving life in Christ Jesus. Thank you. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. All the people, all the people out there, all people raise your hand that know Him, and we can raise our hand. They don't raise their hand. They don't raise their hand. We know Him. That's what we're doing, God. Now, see, it's sort of, man, going anywhere. But He said, listen, the only sign I'm going to give them, is the sign of the prophet Jonah. And the world didn't think much of Jonah, and they certainly didn't think much of Christ when He was crucified and buried and rose again. They didn't believe, and they still don't believe. But the only sign I'm going to give them is our little lives. That's all He's going to show in an unbelieving world. The world isn't a believing world. It's an unbelieving world. And the only sign He's going to show them is us little old guys, girls. Just flesh and blood. You're nobodies. Like 1 Corinthians 1, 25. You're nobodies. No. But that's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom thinks the preaching of the cross to them that perish is what? Foolishness. But to us, it's eternal life. And that's all I'm going to show the world. So why doesn't the girl get excited? They aren't going to get excited. Hopefully some people will get saved, but they aren't going to get excited. Now, so therefore God, mysteries. That's a mystery, uh-huh. Now, the mystery within a mystery, if it would. And go over with me, please, in the light of that, over to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. Gospel of John 14. Now, when you in chapter 13, remember, in the upper room, Peter wants to follow and do everything. And chapter 13, John, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me. But now, but thou shalt follow me later. You can't do it now, but later. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Boy, I'm committed, said Peter. But you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. Verse 38, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for me, my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Now, Peter, be encouraged. Chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, not that I'm going to be here, but that where I am, there you may be also. You're going to go where I am afterward, but later, but not yet. Not yet, Peter. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know, and Thomas saith unto him, verse 5, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So therefore, upper room, you're encouraging their heart. What are you saying? You can't come yet. You have an assignment to represent me on planet Earth. You can't go yet, but you will go. You will go. You're going to be there in my Father's house are many abiding places. Now, so in chapter 16, they're encouraged to hang around and do the job of representing him. Verse 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer and be encouraged. I have overcome the world. You're going to be, it's all right. You're going to leave you in the world. The world doesn't want you. The world rejects me. It hates me, John 15:18. It hates you because of me. Get me out of the picture and never speak of me, never open your Bible, et cetera, et cetera. And the world will think you're all right. But if you start being a little light in the darkness, that is not acceptable. Chapter 17, verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. So I'm going to give them my wonderful glory, my wonderful life. How can we do all things, whether you eat or drink, go to work, school, whatever you're doing, do it all in my name for my glory. How can we do it? Because Christ in you is glorious, and his glory is, that's the whole purpose. The life that I live and live in the flesh is Christ's life, and it's glorious. I'm going to give you my glory. And again, he's encouraging the heart, if you were there. Verse 24 again, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, not here, but there. That purpose, they may behold my glory, my glory. And we look at ourselves, in the mirror and think what we are in our old nature. We don't see that glory, but it's there in Christ Jesus. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps cleansing us from all sin and lets the world know that guy, that girl, that boy is saved. They're saved. And the world may not know it. Angels do. Angels do. The good guys and the bad guys, they know who's saved. They do. Now, having said that little bit, so God does what you want. Now, having said that, chapter 21. In chapter 21. And you will remember, before, after his resurrection, dealing with Peter and John, and may I go directly in the light of it, verse 22. Remember, God told him what he's going to do with John. Verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? That's John. And Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. If I want John to stay right here until I come back, that's my business. You just follow what I want, and therefore you get a job, Peter. But if I want John to hang around, that's a statement he says, till I come, I can do it. I can do it. How can you do it until I come? I told you in my Father's house are many abiding places. I wouldn't bother telling you that. I wouldn't bother telling you I want you to be where I am without meaning something. It means something to me, said God. So therefore, verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But Jesus said to John, I will that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? That's what Jesus really said. you start, you make it say something else. The Lord Jesus said, let me correct that. Let me correct it. I want you to know, if I want Peter to tarry, verse 22, to wait, to abide, to delay, along before I returning. If I want, I'm not going to come back yet, but if I want to stay, keep him around, I'm going to keep him around. That's an awesome statement. You say, oh, I didn't mean it. Yes, he did. And it was quite possible. Everything's quite possible if God wants it, and God's going to do it. So God, in your wonderful grace, you're going to go and tarry, if you tarry. Now, hang on to that. We're going to the mystery, you know. We're heading for it, another mystery. Now, over if you would, Hebrews chapter 10. Remember what you looked at, verse 22, the word tarry, to wait. If I want them to wait. Over to Hebrews and chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And picking up. Chapter 10, going directly, if I may, in verse, chapter 10, picking up, if I can, in verse 35. Cast not away, 10:35, Hebrews. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. It pays off to be trusting God, looking to God. And that's the book, Hebrews chapter 10, and spoiling of your goods. Everything goes, the world isn't happy with you, so it isn't happy with you. I told you they're going to be happy. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So therefore, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For reason, you have need of patience, bearing up under the load, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. In other words, do what I told you to do, and you'll find how true it is. Just be on, do. I told you to believe me, trust me, do it. Do what I told you, and you'll know. Finish what I told you to do. Believe me, and then you'll know. After you've done the will of God. I told you to trust me. You got to trust me through it. So you know afterwards. But you got to go through it. So therefore, in verse 36, you have need of patience after that you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. 4:37, yet a little while, and he that will come will come, he will not, not what? Tarry. He won't tarry. He won't delay. He will not delay. He will not delay. He's going to do it, everything in proper order, in a proper way, in a proper time. God's going to do it, and he will not tarry until he has done what he's done. Now, and to tie that part before we do the next, go over to Revelation, the last book, 22, Revelation chapter 22, when God ends, he's all done saying what he's going to say. So when we come to chapter 22, he makes his concluding statement. John chapter 14, in my Father's house, I'm going to go, I'm going to come back and take you home. Now, so when you close, no more, God say, tell us some more. No, I'm not going to tell you anymore. I told you enough. Chapter 22, verse 20. He that testifieth these things saith, surely thou, Lord Jesus, said, I, present tense, I myself am coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. That's what I'm doing. That's how I'm going to close. I'm not going to tell you anymore. I told John, I told Peter, I told John, Peter, if I want, I'm going to come and I'm going to come. So just relax. I told you I'm coming. Coming. What clock do you go by? There is no clock. There is no clock. Clock is only for you. There is no clock. There is no time. Let's see. Okay, do a different way. It may help you. How old you've been saved? If you've been saved, how long? Make believe, you know, whatever, 10 years, 5 minutes, whatever it is, and you're saved. Now, that was, you can go back and say, I was saved, but thus and thus and thus, okay? How old is eternal life in you? You're thinking? If the Lord tarries 10 more years, how much older is eternal life in you? There is no time. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, you were taken into God's timelessness. There is no time. Just in your body, just in this, only time. For you, there is no more time. That's why it doesn't make any difference in anything, because you can't get any older. You can't get any older, and you can't get any younger. You have the life of God that is timeless. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? I think it is. Yeah, I just need to understand that. Okay, now, having got that little bit, now we're ready for the mystery. You got the idea? I want you to get the background. So I wish other people would understand it. Now, over if you would please, to the book of Ephesians, and in chapter 1. In Ephesians, and in chapter 1. And therefore, God in his wonderful grace. So, remember, we're talking about showing God's grace. That's what we're doing. And we're doing it. And we're here because he's tarrying. He's coming, but he hasn't come yet. He hasn't come yet. So here we are. Now, so Ephesians 1 and verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored, highly graced in the beloved. That's what he's done. Highly favored, graced. And verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. What is his will? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We are his inheritance, being predestinated, marked out ahead of time, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will in his wonderful, wonderful way, over in all of his inheritance. In verse 12, that, what's it all about? That, while we're here, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's what we're doing. Well, what are we doing? We're here because God leaves us here. God leaves us here, like the Apostle Peter and Apostle John. They leave us here. It was here. We're waiting. That's what we're doing. Now, sliding over verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Remember what you read in verse 12? We're to be to the praise of his glory. Remember what you read in verse 6? To the praise of the glory of his grace. God's, what did God give us? John 17, 22, I'm going to give you my glory. I'm going to give you my glory. I'm going to give you that which you need to be able to do it. My wonderful will for your life. I'm going to give you that so you can enjoy it in a time when you'll be clobbered in a world of darkness. But be of good cheer. Now, so therefore your grace, chapter 2, and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That's how you're saved. Not only are we saved by grace, to show God's grace, John 1:14, Christ Jesus, full of glory and truth. And so when we come to chapter 2, we're saved by grace, for God's grace. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches, to say the least, of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, seated in this wonderful place, seated before God in his grace, in his marvelous, marvelous grace, and sliding down. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's wonderful, wonderful will to be outworked in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So Christ is the head, right over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church, the assembly, which, verse 23, is his body. That's why we're gathered together on the Lord's day, etc., etc. What for? We're his body. We are assembled together to show the body. We aren't to show just the kidneys over here and the liver over there and the toenail over there. We aren't supposed to. No, we're supposed to come together. That's how you show the body, the parts of the body. That's where Christ walketh in the midst, to show his body. Here we are, Lord. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, the church which is his body. And, as you know, which is his body, verse 23, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Elbert, chapter 2, chapter 5. Again, you know, but put it together. Chapter 5. And in chapter 5, verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. No, we're very careful we don't hit our hand with a hammer or something. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, his body. Whoever heard of it? Never. That's the only sign I'm going to show, the sign of the prophet Jonas. I'm going to show flesh and blood walking up and down the streets with I'm going to be in them. I'm going to show my life where they are. That's the only sign I'm going to give him. I have risen, and they walk in newness of life, the life that they now have, to show God's wonderful person. Now, having said that, they're awaiting what? Wrath, grace. The world's unbelieving, and they still are unbelieving, and the church as apostasy and all of that, Revelation chapter 3, the church. It isn't hot or it isn't cold. I vomited out of my mouth. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. I'm looking for just a whosoever. The buildings are there. Everything's there. It's a big system. I'm looking for the whosoevers that believe. Now, so therefore, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, as you would guess, and 1 Thessalonians, picking up, please. And 1 Thessalonians, you catch it, we've done it so many times. First Thessalonians chapter 1. And may I go? What are we doing? Chapter 1, verse 10. What were the Thessalonians doing? Verse 9, they were showing how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And in the meantime, John chapter 21, what did you tell Peter to do? You just do what you're supposed to do, Peter, till I come. First Thessalonians 1:10, to wait. They're waiting for his son out from heaven, the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the what? The wrath to come. He's already done it. John chapter 3:36, the wrath of God, the pendulum swinging under the, how's the whole world spinning around, and here's the pendulum swinging overhead, the wrath of God. Grace of God keeps it up there. Grace of God. But God's going to what? He's going to go and do some wonderful thing here. He's going to go and remove the church. And the wrath of God is going to fall. Now, tribulation. Now, so therefore, chapter 2. And God drives it home. You got the idea. I don't need to keep reading it because I got to quit. But anyway, what to wait for a son? We'll stop.